The fuel oil market reacts to U.S. Consumer Price Index data. China's iron ore imports jump 5%, but is it sustainable? And an update from our steel desk. All this and more on Freight Up. Hello and welcome to Freight Up. I'm Fernanda, and this week we'll be joined by our guests from the FIS team to bring you the latest need-to-know news in the world of freight and commodities. But before that, a quick announcement. We are now live on our official podcast website, so make sure to visit us at freightuppodcast.com. If you have any feedback or questions for our team, make sure to leave a note by clicking the microphone icon on our website homepage. Once again, that's freightuppodcast.com. Now on to the show. Up first with your fuel oil update, your favorite Iceman, A. Smith 7, Archie Smith. Okay, Archie, so we just had the U.S. Consumer Price Index data drop. What's going on?
Yes, it did. Upon dropping, we saw an initial jump in the oil markets. This is because we actually saw a 0.1% decrease in the food and energy index. So for April, that came in at 5.5%. Previously, it was 5.6%. As well as this, the year-on-year overall CPI data came in at 4.9%. This was estimated to be 5% and was previously also 5%. So coming in that 0.1% lower, you know, really does kind of inject a lot of confidence into the market. So before that data came, Brent crude front month future was trading around 76.80. The data dropped at 130 BST and we saw that jump to around 77.42. So, you know, a good 60 cent jump there. And that was the initial jump. We are kind of, you know, as I left my desk, we were still kind of climbing up there. So yeah, it's been a positive result on the market there.
So Archie, what's going on in the market this week?
Crude's been, you know, massively coming off kind of the last week in particular. We found a little bit of support at the end of last week, Friday and kind of Monday, Tuesday. We found a little bit of support in the market. There was rumors that there was quite a lot of Russian buying happening, which is offering support to prices. Today, we're actually down a little bit. I think we settled last night at around $77.30 dollars per barrel. I think when I left my desk, we was traded about 76 even.
So we had massive drops in the market last week. Where are we now?
It does seem from what we're seeing in the market that the, you know, the massive slide we were having over the last week where we dropped like 8% in the Brent and 10% in the WTI, it has leveled out a little bit. You know, we're not seeing these dramatic $4 or $5 daily drops. We've kind of plateaued around the 76, 77 level for the past, well, kind of since Friday last week. So yeah, that's where we're at the minute. Obviously Golden Week last week, so most of the Asian participants are out of the market. So again, you know, it's draining liquidity and yeah, no one really knows where things are at. When there's so much of the market that's out and there's less liquidity, you can see more volatility because, you know, one trade that might be 0.1% of the market one day in a day when, like, you know, in a day of Golden Week when no one's in the market, that could be a much bigger trade within the market and therefore move the prices more on its own. So yeah, you do normally see more volatility when there's less liquidity.
Do we have anything on the Visco or on our scrubber spread? See, I'm learning.
Visco is really not doing much at the minute. They're still pretty narrow in the front. One thing that is worth noting in the fuel oil markets is the syngas oil has actually, over the past couple of weeks, gone into contango for the remainder of Cal 23 at least. And I think, you know, this just comes from there's so much supply, there's so much prompt supply where Asia, you know, China and India have been buying up so much of this cheap Russian crude and refining it. There's now just such a prompt supply of these of products such as syngas oil. And, you know, with so much supply in the prompt contracts, the front month, the June, the July, we've seen that kind of slip into contango, you know, for the remainder of this year. So, you know, that's something that literally happened in the past couple of weeks. It was always been in backwardation for a while. Kind of post Russian invasion. So, you know, that's something else of note. Yeah, I mean, we're still seeing some strength as well in the high sulfur euro crack, which has kept our scrubber spreads tight. They've not really tightened up since I kind of last spoke to you, but they've remained pretty narrow, historically pretty narrow. I think the, you know, front month euro scrubber spreads at about $82 when I left the desk, and the Sing about 108, 110, which, yeah, historically, we're looking at pretty tight spreads there.
Now for an update on the steel markets from Joshua Stern. All right, Josh, so you're reporting to us live from where?
So we're in Milan right now at the Made of Steel conference, and we've been here for the last 2 days. We're also going to be here tomorrow for the final day. We've also actually just gone over to the La Mira conference over there, which is very similar to the Steel conference, just a little bit more, I would say, on the engineering side. So there's a lot of like plasma cutting machines and stuff like this. So Mitsubishi Electric and, you know, people essentially going out to sell these products. Who would then essentially be selling them on to service centers, you know, forges all and the like. So yeah, anybody who's going to be kind of producing steel would be looking at those tools over there. So thought it would be worth going over there as well. And lastly, yeah, we also just spent about a day and a half out there in Barcelona at the Arepa Steel Orders Conference. And so that was also very, very successful. Great to see a lot of the names and players in the industry at both events.
Looks like you're working hard to increase liquidity in the steel market. So what's been your big takeaway from these conferences, Josh?
No, if there have been any major takeaways for me here in the last couple of days from both of these events, people who are going to be exposed to physical steel prices do not want to take on A, stock depreciation, and B, they don't want to take on the full physical risk that they would be by running these positions without having been hedged at all. So I think what's really kind of interesting is to see that a lot of these, especially kind of larger, your larger mills, your larger players, are starting to really see the value in taking that opposite position or hedging out some of your risk. You know, even though you're going to be a physical trader, you know, just like any trader, right? You enter into a trade and you think you're right, of course, right? You think you have an edge. But when that edge doesn't always work out, it's always good to then be, you know, protected from the downside. You know, a penny saved is a penny earned, and I very much believe in that. So I think that this is where we've really started to see kind of the acceptance in the market of steel products. So the steel rebar contracts have been very, very, so that was probably one of the biggest topics out there at the IREPAS conference, quite a bit of scrap discussions as well. But, you know, this continues to be a contract that various players around the world could actually make use of. In the last week and a half, we've really kind of started to see a very interesting, some interesting occurrences out in the scrap market as well. Last week was quite interesting, as we saw kind of at the back end of last week, there was quite some interest in scrap all of a sudden. The OCC23 contract started to trade. There was some pretty good size that was out there as well and was trading. Almost kind of what felt like a little bit of a dead cat bounce last week was the scrap had come off majorly over the past couple of weeks. And now, once we got down there to about 380, you know, at some point, I believe front month was still barely above 400 and then just traded under 400. And then we started to see a little bit of a bounce towards the end of last week, only to be followed by absolutely getting pummeled down this week. It looks like there were a couple of physical shipments that went through the market at, you know, around the 360, 370 mark. So pretty low. Yeah, some of those cargoes have definitely been putting pressure on scrap prices as well.
A hot topic at the conventions has been European HRC. What's been your take on that?
Obviously, this contract has been one of the fastest growers in the last couple of years, right? But I'm really starting to see that people here are really starting to acknowledge the Northwest European contract as essentially being a very, very, very strong proxy for where they are going to be delivering it. You know, as we always say, there is no such thing as a perfect hedge. It won't correlate one-to-one. But it will correlate maybe, you know, 95-90% somewhere around there. And what this does is, even then, you might have to trim or adjust your position slightly. But again, as we were saying earlier, one isn't looking to actually hedge out all of your physical risk. Just by doing this, even for, you know, smaller amounts or, you know, 5 kt here, 10 kt there, whatever it might be, you know, that is still going to prove to be beneficial. And yeah, you know, quite some interest in this contract. I know Argus has also been out here promoting the EU HRC contract. Really see a lot of room for growth there. So it's been quite good.
Going into the next week, Josh, what would you advise people to keep an eye on?
You know, over the next week, I would probably advise people to really keep an eye on liquidity in the physical market. Liquidity in the physical markets is always going to have a knock-on effect into the derivative market. Again, as we've been discussing here, you know, most of these contracts are designed as hedging tools, right? So they are meant to be used by physical players who are going to be coming into the market looking to essentially hedge out some or more of their price risk. I think at the end of the day, the real thing to kind of keep in mind right now is, A, what happens in scrap, right? What happens in the physical market? Is there more downside? I don't know. I can't say. As for the upside, I'm not sure that there's enough sentiment right now to drive scrap any further up. Yeah, I do see a high-pressure environment there for scrap. In turn, that will probably also have a knock-on effect on rebar, which I don't expect, you know, to continue going up any further as well. Obviously, rebar has been on an absolute, that bid has gotten hit down almost as hard, if not harder, than scrap prices have. So, very interesting out there at the moment. There isn't exactly a ton going on, but there isn't exactly nothing going on. So I think right now one really needs to monitor the physical market, see what's going on there, and then, kind of look to express your view and, hedge that out.
Wonderful then, Josh. Thank you so much for reporting live all the way from Milan. It sounds like such a hardship to be in Italy right now. Have so much fun. We'll be waiting for you back at home base. Up next, your Ferrous Complex update with Hao Pei. Hi, Hao. How are you doing?
Good, good. How are you?
Doing well. How was Golden Week?
It was nice. I go camping with my family, my parents, my son, and my wife, and a few of my friends. They have kiddos with a similar age of my sons, and we go fishing, enjoy sunshines, and we even tried barbecue, although it's not very successful.
By next Golden Week, you will be a grill master, I believe it.
Yeah, I need to learn more lessons from YouTube or anything.
Definitely. That's where I learn all my life lessons. So the other place that I get my life lessons, Hao, is actually from Reuters, which you just got featured in. Can you tell us a bit more about what your commentary was?
It's another prediction about the iron ore imports in April. There's a lot of different market sounds on April iron ore imports in China. Some of them saying there's an increase, while some are saying there's a decrease on April iron ore imports. Well, I'm saying it's very flat. I have a neutral outlook on the imports. And finally, the real number turned out to a small growth, a tiny growth, which was close to zero. So they had a very short interviews on this prediction. I was indicating that the very flat growth was because the iron ore usage, although the shipping, the imports looked very low in April, but the iron ore consumption was basically by the iron ore port inventory. So that's why it's not showing in the shipment data, but it still finally turned out to be a flat number in April.
And how does that relate to what's going on in the market this week?
Because originally someone think the iron ore price should be very supportive in April because of the shipment data was very low. Because of the wrong expectation, they didn't escape from the fast drop of the market during the first half or late half of April. The iron ore has dropped to 21% in April. But if they valued in, the fact is iron ore was, they had a sufficient supply, or mills is buying more supplies from the inventory side. If they combine the two factors together, they will see, well, iron ore actually have a sufficient supply in April, or even a little bit surplus in April. So it will probably help them to make business decisions.
So what are the main drivers behind this rebound?
First of all, we saw a general recovery on the macro market after U.S. Fed announced a 25 BPS hike, which fell into expectation in the last 2 months. And the Fed revealed no more hike in the year. Moreover, China held a conference mentioning more resolutions on housing debts in some provinces. And after then, three commercial banks cut interest rate again. So from macro market angle, the marginal liquidity is eased in the rest of 2023, which supported housing equities and industrial commodities growth. And from fundamental side, we are seeing pig iron production dropping from the peak at 2.47 million tons a day to 2.43 million tons a day. Falling seasonal features, it still has a long way to go. which means we are in a marginal decreasing on demand side. And unfortunately, the supply is increasing in the last 2 months because the major miners are listed companies. They need to increase deliveries in the last financial quarter, which is the calendar quarter of Q2. So in May and June, delivery is up. But that is a story of a mid-run. I mean, if we go back to short run, the other important indicator is the iron ore 4 month contract in DCE has reached 640 yuan, which is equal to $78 per ton. And that's a cost line of many non-major miners plus shipping, which means a heavy loss for them. The last but not the least, virtual steel margin recovered from 79 yuan for Chinese Northern steel mills before Golden Weeks to 361 yuan after Golden Weeks. So the physical margin expected to follow soon. So that gives raw materials more room to uptake.
And do you think this is sustainable?
Because in long run, we have a prediction of excess in supply. It cannot go back to 120 or 130 yuan area from my perspective. However, from the valuation and the steel margin angle, which allow iron ore to have some decent rebound, I think it's reasonable to see a rebound in short run. So yeah, I think it is not sustainable in long run. For example, it's not sustainable to last till Q3 or Q4, but I think it's very normal to see a short run rebound in the next few weeks.
What is your big takeaway for our listeners this week?
I think all the upstream material side are becoming cheap and they're becoming less valued, while the finished steel side is very dangerous at the current valuation. The fact is, China is trying to cut the production goals, so that's why the finished steels are maintaining strong. But I think in short run, the trade may become vice versa. People probably think the finished steels are overvalued and trade back. So it's a little slight neutral outlook on the finished steel side. Well, it's for the scrap, coking coal, and iron ore. It's there are more supportive factors on that areas.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Hal. I guess we'll have to keep an eye on the market, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week, Fernanda. Thank you.
Well, that's it for us this week. We hope you enjoyed the show, and thank you so much for joining us. And if you haven't already, make sure to follow the podcast to get new episodes, which you can now do very easily through our website, freightuppodcast.com. We'll see you next week.